Good morning and welcome to Dr. Leonard's Pet Pointers. You know, last week we talked about the dog vaccination, getting that new puppy. Well, Christmas time also brings new kittens, so while we have this opportunity, let's talk about kitten vaccination. Just like puppies, we do kittens at 6 weeks, 10 weeks, and 14 weeks. The thing about kittens, however, is because moms hide them and people keep them around a little longer, a lot of times I don't see them till they're older than 6 weeks. A lot of times we modify this program, but this is the one I'm going to talk to you about anyway. This is what we prefer. We talk about several vaccinations in cats, and the one that I'm going to talk about today is one we call an annual, which is distemper, rhinotracheitis virus, calicivirus, and a bug called chlamydia. We're going to talk about those in more detail here in just a minute. At 6 weeks, that's the only one your kitten gets. They can't have leukemia, which is the other thing we're going to take some time to talk about, because leukemia, they need to be 9 weeks old before they get their first vaccination. So, let's talk about those diseases. Distemper. Distemper in dogs and distemper in cats and distemper in horses are three totally different diseases. They do not transfer back and forth. They are not related in any way. A dog distemper and cat distemper are viruses. The distemper in horses is actually a bacteria. So they have nothing to do with each other. Correct name for distemper in cats is panleukopenia. Now, I don't know how many of you took Latin, but if you know your Latin, that means all of the white blood cells in the blood disappear. So whatever infection your cat runs into, he can't fight it. And since he can't fight it, he dies of that infection. People call me and say, what are the signs of distemper? Well, they can be respiratory, they can be enteric, the intestinal tract, it can be all kinds of things. So just because you have something, a snotty nose, doesn't mean your cat has distemper. The next one's rhinotracheitis. Rhinotracheitis is actually a herpes virus, and if you know about herpes viruses in humans, you know that once you have a herpes virus, you have it for life. If your cat gets a herpes virus, he's going to have it forever. It will come out a lot of times during stress. Calicivirus is an interesting little virus. It's an upper respiratory virus, but what we see is ulcers on the tongue. Sometimes those ulcers will be as big as half of the tongue. And when they're that big, your cat doesn't drink, your cat doesn't eat because he uses his tongue to do all those things. It can be very devastating to them, even though he's probably not going to kill him. Chlamydia is a bacteria. And chlamydia, when you have this cat with the snotty nose and the snot comes out and it's yellow, that's probably chlamydia. It's very common in the environment, and every time you get a little upper respiratory thing, the chlamydia says, oh good, there's an opportunity for me to infect things. If the snot's green, it's another disease, but chlamydia we can vaccinate for. Now let's talk about leukemia. Leukemia is one of those diseases that kills your cat. Won't kill him fast, but eventually he will die of leukemia. We use a lot of leukemia in Atlantic because our feral cat population, the wild cats, have a high incidence of leukemia. If you take a cat in off the street, there's a good chance that he has had leukemia or has been exposed to it. So we do it as a routine in Atlantic. If you live out in the country and you don't have any other cats straying onto your place, maybe you don't need leukemia. The other thing that's about leukemia is that if a cat gets it and gets over it, he becomes a carrier. A high percentage of them do. If he gets in a fight with somebody or he breeds somebody or whatever, those are the two ways. Fights and coitus are the two reasons that leukemia gets transferred from cats to others. Occasionally they can get it by sneezing through the screen door, so we are very careful with that. What else do you need to do with that kitten? Well, first off, it needs to be dewormed. The worming incidence in cats is probably not quite as high as it is in dogs, and I don't have an explanation for that except that most cats are not raised in kennels. Dogs, most of them are raised in some kind of kennel situation. So we do check cats, and we recommend that you deworm every kitten, especially if you have small children. We have a nice product now called Profender. Profender is one you put on the back, and it works marvelous. When this was introduced to me, I really questioned whether it would work or not. We tried it in the office on a cat we knew had worms, and believe me, this thing works. In about 12 hours, you got worms all over everywhere if you've got a big infestation. The other thing we want to always remember is Frontline for cats. One of the problems we've run into last year, because everything was so loaded with fleas, and probably again this year because of our winter, we had cats that were too big for the flea dose, and we needed to move them over to dog doses. So if your cat's over about 15 pounds, he probably needs to go to the small dog rather than the cat Frontline. The other thing I want to remember is that cats that get overweight are not good. Don't let your cat get obese. I don't care how old he is. Don't let him get obese. I see it way too often. Until next week, this is Dr. Keith Leonard at Atlantic Animal Health Center, 1008 West 6th Street. Our number is always 243-2121.